worship you. We love you, Lord. And Lord, there's nothing we could do on this earth, Lord, without you. And we are so thankful, Lord, that you are even in our midst this morning. I pray, Lord, as we open up your word, Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts in just the right places. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage us. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us too, Lord, where we need to step up. And I ask, dear God, that you would work, Lord, as only you can in our midst this morning. Take me out of the picture, Lord. I pray that your spirit would just work in our hearts and that, Lord, that you would just speak, Lord, loudly and clearly through your word. And I ask it now in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen. So take out your Bibles, if you would. And we are continuing our series called Good Stewardship. And the idea, right, is faithfully managing the things that are entrusted to us, which is an awful lot of things. And we're going to go right to our next slide. And I want to just share with you guys, check out that picture. What is that? That is a monarch butterfly, right? And if you look at that, I don't know if you guys can see it. This monarch butterfly is an amazing creation of God that has been gifted with just what this butterfly needs to do what God has called him to do. And if you look, by the way, up the screen, hopefully you guys can see it real good, you notice that around the butterfly's head, there are three extensions, right? So there's two antennae, right? You guys see those? And then there's this thing coming out of his mouth. It looks kind of like a straw, right? And by the way, I'll just kind of flash forward. Anybody had a Slurpee lately? You know, it's VBS week. We got to be like kids, right? You go in 7-Eleven, and 7-Eleven's kind of making this comeback, right? You go in 7-Eleven, and you get a Slurpee, and as a kid, you had to have a strategy, right? So the strategy was when you got your Slurpee cup, you made sure you got that clear cover to put it on the top because you could get a lot more in the cup if you had that clear cover first, right? So you don't fill the cup and put the cover on first. You put the cover on, and you fill it right to the top. Right? You remember that? And you know, when you got a Slurpee at 7-Eleven, right, you got to get this, like, extra long straw because the cup is big and the straw's got to go all the way down because you know how it is when you have ices and Slurpees. You kind of drink off all the good stuff, and what's at the bottom? Just ice, right? So it comes with this extra long straw. Well, check this out. When God created monarch butterflies, he created them with an extra long straw connected to their mouth so that they could go flower to flower and extract all of the nectar like they're supposed to do. And it's just kind of amazing. And by the way, and when you see butterflies, what are they doing? They're flying some, right? But more oftentimes than not, they're doing the job that God has called them to do, which is to get the nectar out of each flower. They're pollinating other flowers as they go, and they're doing the job that God has gifted them for and called them to do without ceasing. That is a great example for us as believers, isn't it? And we talked about this a little bit last week. You know, we had a great celebration for Cindy last week. Praise God. We just kind of started the message, but we got interrupted by the chicken parm and all that stuff that was coming in. So today, we're going to have our hearts challenge what it means to really steward the gifts that God has given us, right? So I want to move right on down to our next part, and we'll pick it right up. Just kind of a thought, right? And by the way, get this all in our minds. An important thing that we have to walk away with today is that God has given, and what's the next word? Every believer gifts to build up the church. Now, and by the way, does that every means who? Everybody. And now this week I was kidding around. I met with Rosemary and Pastor Ansu. We're doing some worship stuff, planning for the future, right? And Rosemary was cracking up. And she was telling a story that she was with her son Chris, and they were watching this special celebration that we had before, how George Peterson was helping me to sort of dance close to on step. Right? And I'll throw this out. So it seems like, and I have to confess, when they gave out rhythm, I must have missed that line. However, when they gave out spiritual gifts, Nobody missed the line. Amen. So everybody here has one. There's nobody that's without one. Everybody's got one, and God gave it to us so that we could use it to build up the body of Christ. So when we come together here at FBC or wherever God takes us, we're not just coming to get, we're coming to give the gift that God gave us to build the people up that are around us, that are our friends and our loved ones in the body of Christ right here. Like church ought to be an uplifting experience. You know, a lot of times we drag our bones here, literally, right? And it's not so uplifting when we get out of bed in the morning. But when we come here, God wants us to walk away just filled by his spirit and uplifted in our hearts by the gift giving of everyone around us. And I want to move to the next verse, next slide if we can. So kind of get this in our minds, right? God has endowed every believer with spiritual gifts. And they're kind of like, think of it this way. It's a divine enablement. In other words, God's given you like an ability to do something that is going to be meaningful, purposeful for the body of Christ that has eternal significance, right? And to build the church up. We're commanded to be good and faithful stewards who then discover what our gifts are, develop them, and use them every day that we live for the glory of God. So that's what we're kind of talking about. So we're going to segue right ahead from there and help me then. Thank you guys so much. And just remember, when people say the word stewardship, and by the way, hopefully after this series, you're not going to just think money. There is more to stewardship than money. And we're going to kind of continue looking at that. Pastor Anthony, 2 weeks ago, really talked about time. And probably a lot of us got convicted how we spend, waste, and use our time. So hopefully we'll be a little bit better at that. So we're going to move forward from there as well. We'll go right to the next thing. And, you know, I want to just step back, and we covered a little bit of this last time, so we'll move a little quickly through it. So when we think about our spiritual gifts, and I want to just remind us and kind of think about, remember there's four passages that talk about this in Scripture. Four main ones. Remember what they were? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. Write that down. Four passages, right? The test is next week. If you do bad, it's going to be ugly. No, I'm only kidding, right? So we got to get this down. So there's spiritual gifts. There's four passages. And I want to just say something. They all kind of not just talk about the gift-giving part of it or how we use our gifts, but they talk about something that's even more important, which is, when we think about our gifts, we got to have the right attitude. You know, it's kind of like when you get people on your team, you don't want people that are just going to moan and groan and complain. You guys, you know, anybody know how that is? Isn't that awful? You know, folks like that, like they find a dark cloud in every silver lining, right? You know, but God wants us to have the right attitude. He also wants us to have the right goals and perspective. And as a result of that, it's going to cause the right outcomes in the body. And that's what God's looking for. So we're going to quickly go to the right attitude. We started this last week, but take us down a slide if you would. Thank you so much. The right attitude. And get this, and we looked at this last time, right? The right attitude, and Cindy, by the way, picked that song. Praise Team sang it so well and led us in it. The right attitude is, God has gifted me, not for me, he's gifted me for you. It's self-sacrifice. And that's not something everybody's looking to do, but that's what God has gifted us for, and he's enabled us to do that. And I want to say this. Everybody look up for a second. There's four passages about spiritual gifts, right? Every one of those passages also talks about spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit. Things like love, joy, encouragement, they're all part of those things, those passages, and we'll look at them briefly in a second. So I want to say this. You guys ever heard this expression that hurt people hurt people? You ever heard that? And by the way, it's true. It means that people that have been hurt often hurt others, sometimes deliberately or sometimes just because they're hurting so bad. At the same time, you know what? Faithful people are fruitful people. And fruitful people will bear fruit in the lives of other people. And what am I talking about? When I say fruitful, I mean people that are evidencing, showing, developing those fruits of the Spirit in them. Because as I serve in my gifts, now she's an example. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that talks about gifts. What's the next chapter in 1 Corinthians after 12? You guys are good, buddy. 13. All right, you're awake, right? So 12, 13, right? So chapter 12 talks about what? Spiritual gifts. What's chapter 13 talk about? Love, right? That fruit of the Spirit that enables us to use our gifts in the right way. Like, we use our gifts not to walk all over each other. We use our gifts to build up each other. You know, so there, and by the way, I look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll get these real quick. Ephesians chapter 4, it starts all about unity and oneness, and that involves, again, our love for each other, the joy that we celebrate together. I look at Romans, and he says, hey, do these things. Love. I look at 1 Peter, and it says, have a fervent love. Like, we can't separate the fruits of the Spirit from the gifts of the Spirit because the gifts are operational in the fruit. And it really works that way. So we'll look at that. But get this in our mind, the right attitude. First one is this, right? Jot it down. First one is what? Self-sacrifice. He says, I beseech you, therefore, by brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a what? Living sacrifice. In other words, we're not just dying once and it's done. We're going to die every day to ourselves and keep on giving and keep on doing what God's called us to do. And he says, a living sacrifice, holy, set apart to God, acceptable to God. And we said this last week, that's our reasonable service. If Jesus can die on the cross of Calvary for me, I can put my wishes aside to serve everybody else that God's called me to do. And that's kind of the idea. So attitude, write the first one down, self-sacrifice. We're going to go to the next slide. Next one is this, right? Humility. You know, here's the funny thing. In the Church of Jesus Christ, kind of like everything, by the way, look up for a second. You know what? Can't we as human beings just mess things up? It's like an innate ability, right? By the way, it's the result of the fall. We're going to learn about this week in Bible school. We're going to talk about, you know, creation. We're going to talk about corruption. All the things that happen as a result of falling into sin and all the consequences of that. That's why we as people can just mess up the greatest things that God gives us. And here's one. The right attitude. We got to have an attitude of humility. Not, you know, God gifted me and I'm amazing and you should all do, you know, everything I say and almost worship me. No. We should have an attitude of humility. And I like what he says in this passage. He says, for I say through the grace given to me that to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. But we have the idea of soberly has almost that idea of being realistic. Here, look up for a second. Here's the funny thing. We know kind of what we're good at, don't we? And we know what we struggle with. Like, I might think, I use a funny example, I might think I'm a good dancer, but you all know the truth. Ask Jane, like, she, you know, see, her toes are probably all banged up if we tried, right? You know, we have to be real about who we are, right? So humble ourselves, we think soberly, and we have this humility about us. It says, for we have many members in one body, but all members don't have the same function. And I want to say this to get this down. You know, talking about we need to be humble. We need to be self-sacrificing. But get this. We also need to realize that we need everybody else. Some of us have more than one gift. But none of us have all of the gifts. And I'll throw this out. That's why we can't expect. By the way, Pastor Ansu got some excellent rhythm. So that's why we hired him to be my partner, right? But together, we don't have all the gifts. So when it comes to the church here at Willingboro, if you're relying on us to do everything because you think we got all the gifts, think again, right? Then we add in our deacon board. Some have rhythm, some don't. But when you add those in, now we got more gifts, but we're still not complete. We can add in, you know, the rest of our team, our staff, man. Miss Carol, she's awesome as our office manager. Terry is our facilities manager. You know, we have all these people. We have a Sunday school superintendent. Jonathan's amazing. He's energized. He's doing all these things. We're still not there yet. And you know what's missing? You and your gifts. Right? That makes sense? And the Lord says that. He says, for we being many are one body in Christ, but individually we're what? Members of one another. So we humbly say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to play the role that God has given me to do. You know, I'll step back kind of using a sports analogy. Everybody remember Michael Jordan? Yes. Right? And LeBron, like LeBron now, right? You know, and he's kind of getting old too, like the rest of us, right? But guess what? These guys, they score 50 points, right? Or Embiid, right, in Philly, right? Embiid, he can score 50, 60 points in a game. Well, guess what? That only works if someone else does the hard work to get him the ball, right? You know, I'm thinking about it, all other, you know, Ronaldo only scores goals because they get him the ball. Messi only scores because they get him the ball. So somebody has to be content in doing the hard work to get the ball to the guy who can score, right? And that's the body of Christ. That's how it's got to work here, right? By the way, we're all gifted in different ways, and we're all key and purposeful on this team that God has, right? And that's so important. That's why we have to have this idea of humility. But I want to add one more thing. So we're self-sacrificing, we're humble, but then we have to take responsibility that we are part of the team. Right? I want to say this. Everybody look up for a second. Get this in your mind for a second. Think about these incredible athletes. If they never showed up to practice, one, do they play in the games? And do they get paid? No, right? And by the way, you know, in a sense, when we gather on Sunday, this is practice. We're talking through plays. We're talking through how we ought to think. We're talking through what we need to do. We're getting the game plan set. Because guess what? When you walk out that door, the game is on. The game is on. The game is on for the souls of men. The game is on for your heart, your family, our church, our community, right? The game is on. And we got to take that responsibility and say, you know what? We're part of the team. And I love this. I remember in coaching my kids, we every year we get to buy uniforms. I know you guys, like, you know, as men, for some reason, we all like to wear, like, sports uniforms. At least I do. Like, I love wearing soccer jerseys and everything, right? But get this in your mind. The most important thing is the name of the team on the front, not the player on the back. Does that make sense? And I remember I used an illustration. I remember the first time I was a coach, we bought uniforms. We didn't get no names on the back. And then they're like, oh, we got to get the names on the back, because, like, the whole world kind of changed, and every team now has a name on the back too. So, okay, we finally got names on the back. But the point is, as the team, we're playing for who's on the front. And who's on the front is Jesus. Right? We're playing for him, right? And as we stop and we think about that, we got to take our responsibility. Go to the next slide, if you will, quickly. Remember I mentioned Ephesians? Look what he says. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, again, beg, that you walk worthy to the calling with which you are called. And I want to challenge us. You know what? One of our callings is, our calling is to use the spiritual gifts that God has given us every single day we live on earth. You know, and by the way, Paul says it. We're going to read about these things. And again, he says it right here. He says, with all lowliness, there's that humility idea, gentleness with long suffering. By the way, you notice that fruits of the Spirit coming out? I'm doing what I'm called to do. But I'm not doing it like with a baseball bat. You know, I'm doing it lovingly, caringly, nurturingly, like how we would handle a baby, right? I have a new grandson, Levi, right? You know, and he's a boy, so you like to rough him up sometimes, right? You know, it's kind of fun to do that, right? But I can't throw him around too much because he's only one. And I'll throw this out. In the body of Jesus Christ, it works the same way. Sometimes we all want to rough each other up a little bit, right? But we got to remember, right, that we are developing, we are nurturing others who are younger and who are babes in Christ. Right? That's the key, right? And he says it right here. So that fruit of the Spirit and that gift of the Spirit, they're kind of related, aren't they? They're really important to practice them together. And look what he says here. Bearing with one another in love, there's that fruit of the Spirit. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, we are doing everything possible to keep peace. And by the way, everybody look up. Get this in your mind. Satan is doing everything possible to make war. And I'm going to throw this out. We prayed for our people in Bible school. Do you think as we go into this week that God's just going to take away every problem? Satan's not going to bother us. Oh, they're doing VBS over there. I'm going to leave them alone. No, Satan is going to go on the war path, and everything you don't want to happen in your house is going to happen. And that's why we got to pray for the grace of God and the power of God so that when we serve as a team, we have the strength to do what God's called us to do, right? That's what God's talking about here. And he says, there is one body and there is one Spirit, i.e., the name of the team on the front, not the back, right? Just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And again, notice what he says. But to each of us, each one, and again, there's that idea, each one, everybody got a gift. Grace was given. And the idea there, by the way, of prayer for grace, this biblical word here, grace, is the idea. Grace is God's unmerited favor, so he gifts us with these abilities as part of his love for us, right? And he says, according to the measure of Christ's gift, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Go to the next slide. By the way, real quick, what are the attitudes? Selflessness, right? Humility, and what? Responsibility, because I'm on the team. And we're going to cancel your contract if you don't come. No, I'm joking, right? I forgot about that part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? Right? In the world, that's what happens. You don't show up, we ain't paying you, man. Right? But at church, we want to understand maybe there's a reason you didn't show up. What's going on? How do we help our brother, our sister move along, right? And you know, I'll tell you this, when people are missing in church, it's not because they're usually bad people. It's because bad stuff's happening. Right? And we got to nurture them, not push them out, right? So next thing, right goals and perspective. Here it is real quick, right? Here's one. The whole idea about spiritual gifts is a building up, building idea. Second thing we got to keep our perspective on is that diversity of gifts. You know, as First Baptist Church, we kind of understand diversity of culture and ethnicity. But we got to understand that there's a whole differences in each of our gifts. And we got to understand that. And by the way, remember the source is God. And 1 Corinthians, and that's what Greg read for us this morning, here's that verse, right? He says, and by the way, Paul uses this phrase a lot. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. He says it in 1 Thessalonians 4. He says other places too. Here's the point, right? When you don't know, you worry, you don't do things right. But when you know, now we're moving the way God wants us to move, right? And he says this, he says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. So just because someone else is gifted differently, it came from the Holy Spirit. He goes into this passage and he just says, hey, the Holy Spirit's the one who gave everyone a gift. And I underline it. Notice this keeps saying in this passage, the same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit, the same Spirit. God wants us to understand that every single gift that he gave us came from him. We didn't deserve it. You know, we didn't ask for it. You know, none of those things are true. It all came from God. The Spirit of God knows everything. He is God, and he gave us exactly what fits us. He knows how we're made up. He knows what we like. He shapes us just the way he wants us to be for him. Right? It's kind of cool, right? And I love verse 11. He just says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things distributing to each one individually as he wills. Amen? So we got to keep that perspective, right? It's about building, and look at verse 7, get this in your mind, the manifestation, or what you see, right, of the Spirit is given to each one, and say it with me, why? For the profit of all. Not to build up my pride, not to make any, you know, me be anything, but to profit everybody so that the body of Christ just keeps bringing glory to God. Take us down to the next slide, if you would, please. The right goals and perspective. And again, just kind of underlining that thought. 1 Corinthians 14, which, by the way, is kind of interesting, right? 1 Corinthians 12 talks about gifts. 1 Corinthians 13 talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love. 1 Corinthians 14 goes back to gift, kind of bookends it together, right? And look what he says, right? He says, as we do this, he says, how is it then, brothers or brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. And by the way, when we come together practicing our gifts, amen. Can you imagine the body just doing that? We're all practicing our gifts. It's amazing, right? And look what he says, let all things be done for edification. In other words, whatever we're doing here, right, is build up, build up, build up. By the way, notice what it's not. Tear down, tear down, tear down. Right? It's build up, build up, build up. Right? That's why we're doing what we're doing. And he says that. And he wants us to understand that is the purpose. So we're going to slide right along to letter C. The right outcomes. You know, kind of get this in our mind here for a second. Here's the right outcomes. Growth, write them down, maturity, and Christ-likeness. And they're kind of related, right? And in this chapter, in Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about the fact that he gifted various people, men and women in the church, with various gifts so that the body is built up. And look what he says. He says, and he gave himself some to be apostles, those original apostles, those sent ones who went out and established the church. Some prophets, and those are teachers who foretell and foretell, right? Some evangelists who share the gospel, and some pastors and teachers who shepherd and teach and develop and help us grow so that we're going to be everything God wants us to be, right? And notice he says again here, there's that purpose, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. There's that word again. I'll throw this out again. Not just equipping the pastors and the deacons and the leaders, but equipping everybody, because as a team, we can always do more better. Right? That's the purpose, right? By the way, I'll throw this out. When people come to our church, I'll use last week, we fed 200 people. The week before that, we fed 100 and some people at the beach. Like, the FBC team is kind of amazing, you know? And we have a new person, Bendu. Bendu has stepped right in. It's amazing what we can do. If you ask your friends, hey, we have people, there's 200 people coming over, they're running away. But we do this all the time. Because why? Because people's gifts are operational. I mean, we ate like kings at the beach in this little pavilion that we took over. So it's kind of crazy how God just works, right? And he says this, by the way, here's the principle. Till we all come to the unity of faith. Isn't that kind of neat, by the way? In a world of division, the church stands out with what? Unity. Till we all come to a unity of faith, of really understanding who Jesus is. You know, Paul talked about grasping the depth and the height and the width of the love of God. Like, that's where God wants us to be at that place, right? It says, in the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. And by the way, don't think that means you're perfect, right? It means a complete, the Greek word is the word there, telos. It means the idea of a mature, completed person in the design of the Creator God, right? And he says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So everybody look up for a second. So here's the deal. Yeah, and Paul said this. He said, follow me or model me as I model Christ. But here's the deal. When we model men, we're always going to fall short. When we model Jesus, we're always going to see the gap and we're going to strive to be what he is. It'll keep us humble. It'll keep us progressing. It'll keep us moving forward because we got to model Christ, right? And by the way, notice what happens. Here's sort of this maturity idea. He says that we should no longer be children. And what does he mean by that? Here's what he means. You know how children are immature? You know, you can never give them enough. You can never tell them how great they are enough. You can never do enough, you know, with them, right? He's saying, I don't want you to think like children. I want you to think like mature people. By the way, have a childlike faith, but not have a childlike attitude and a childlike heart. And he says that we shouldn't be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. And don't we see that today in our world? You know, we go here, and then we're going way over there. You know, so, you know, by the way, social media is a wind. And it blows us this way, and we're ready to scream and fight. And then it blows us another way, and we're ready to scream and fight. You know, that's what he's saying. We as Christians, and by the way, we've experienced this in the pandemic and after, the winds of the world, we're just blowing the church everywhere. Shame on us, right? Shame on us. We need to be built up and solid in Christ, right? Right? That's what he's talking about here. And he says that we shouldn't be carried about with every wind of doctrine. And get this, by the way, by the trickery of men. You know, men use religion for their own gain. We shouldn't be falling into that. And by the way, if we all practice our gifts as a body, we're teaching, we're edifying, we're building each other up, and we're all on the team as the body of Christ, we're going to stay focused on the purpose God has us for, not on every other purpose under the sun. And that's kind of where God wants us to go. And he says, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You know what he's saying? When we really all are engaged, using our gifts with the right attitudes and the right goals and the right perspective, the church of Jesus Christ is strong, and it accomplished God's eternal purpose. You know, and I challenge us, think about all the things that we chase in this life, very few are eternal, but if we are built up and building each other up, by the way, this is a present tense verb, in a continuous way, then we're going to keep on doing what God has called us to do until Jesus comes or until God calls us home. That's the plan. That's what maturity looks like. Go to the next slide if you can, please. By the way, maybe I have one thing. Go back. I apologize. Go back one slide. I want to say this. Look at the very bottom, by the way. What if every part doesn't do its share? What happens? I like, thank you. It's chaos, right? And I wrote down a few words that I just thought about this past week an awful lot. Here's a couple of things when we think about that. You hear people say this, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, right? Yep, that's a popular word, right? Well, here's the deal. When everyone in the church is not using their gifts, we have people that are using their gifts, they are tired. They are fatigued, they are frustrated, and they are failing. You know, why do pastors quit? Because no one person was ever called by God to do everything. And we still try some, don't we, Anthony, right? We try to, you know, cover all the holes and fix all the problems, but it's impossible. We need everybody on the team to help, right? It's not possible by ourselves. And you could add in the deacons and all the other people that are working. It's not enough without you and everybody. So what happens is this, and I'll throw this out. If we go to a church and we see a bad spirit, a bad attitude, we see frustration, we see all those things, we see great fatigue. You know why? Because we're not using all of our gifts. And people who aren't gifted are trying to do what they're not good at. Think about this for a second. Do you ever take your car to a mechanic who doesn't know anything about cars? Sometimes it feels like that happens, but you know, it's like, what in the world? So we want to get the gifted people doing the things they're gifted for, and we all kind of come in and fill in the gaps so that, man, there is great victory in the body of Christ. Right? That's what he's talking about. That's what he wants us to do. So we're going to skip down to the next thing briefly. So stewarding our gifts, and we're going to go right to the verse. Go to the verse if you would for us. We got to think about the environment, the commands, and the motivation. But get this out. Here's the environment. Let's get real, real about this stuff, right? He says, here's the environment. The end of all things is at hand. In other words, God could end the world at any time. Jesus could come back at any time. And then he says this phrase. He says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. We're not here just to have fun. We're here to accomplish what God wants us to do, right? And he says, and by the way, notice again that gifted idea, above all these things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. By the way, when we sin against each other, it causes division. Sometimes it's just our mouth. Sometimes it's what we do or what we don't do. But that's where love covers that all up. And we say, you know what? I know he loves God. I know he loves me. He just kind of messed up. By the way, raise your hand. Anyone ever got stepped on in church before? Come on. I know you're in church. Don't lie, right? Anybody had their feelings hurt in church? Anybody ever left church kind of mad? You know, by the way, we've even had car accidents in the church parking lot. You know, or we've had problems. People couldn't get a parking space, and they're all, you know, they're grouchy, or you're in the wrong spot. You know, we're saying park in the lines, and they park, you know, everywhere but the lines. You know, so people come in, they come in like tigers, and we're trying to worship God, right? It's a mess, right? So he says, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Have fervent love for one another. Love covers all that stuff. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. The idea of hospitality, the actual Greek word, has this idea that I love strangers. That's kind of what it means. You love strangers. You love people and you just want to help them out, right? That's who we're supposed to be in the power of God. And then he says this, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold or the many graces of God. Got to be good stewards. So by the way, just to kind of highlight this, God expects and even could say demands us to do what? Use our gifts. You know, it's not, I'm kind of tired. I'm kind of busy. God's like, I want you to use your gifts. Because, by the way, if you're not using them, you know, it's kind of like the Chicago Bulls. If no one's feeding Michael the ball, he ain't scoring. Right? If Messi's not getting the ball, there's no goals. So if you're not feeding the ball to the right people, we're not doing what God wants us to do, right? So we want to shoot on down. Take us down one more slide, if you would, please. By the way, I praise God for our young folks that work in our sound. They're amazing people, right? So we're motivated, right? He says, if anyone ministers, let him do it with all the ability what God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Why do we do what we do? God told us, and when we obey him, it brings him the glory he deserves. Amen. Right? Amen? So we'll skip on down again. And we're going to go to our last point. Here's the challenge, right? So by the way, in our minds, right, today we have to say, it seems like we ought to use our spiritual gifts. Amen? Amen. Like, it seems like all the scripture we looked at, we hit it kind of quick in some spots. It seems like God's pretty clear that every one of us has a spiritual gift and ought to use it to build up the body, right? All right. So we have Pastor Andrew's going to be in the back today. We have a sign-up sheet We're going to sign everybody up today to get involved on something. Who's ready? Right? And here's the problem, right? Here's the problem. You're feeling a little beat down, a little tired, a little overwhelmed, a little overworked, a little whatever, right? God understands. God understands. And he wants us to do one thing. He wants this. He wants to fan your gift into flame. You know, some of the greatest experiences we had at First Baptist Church in our youth ministry was going camping, going to Word of Life. And here's the funny thing. Whenever we had a fire at camp, right, and all of our kids at that age were little, what do little kids want to do around the fire? What do they want to do? They want to poke at it, right? They want to get a stick or they want to get a rod and they want to poke at the fire, right? And you're always like, get back. You know, you're constantly, you know, we're trying to make s'mores, but you're trying to keep the whole campground from not burning down, right, at the same time, right? But you got to poke at it. And by the way, when the fire kind of dies down, when you kind of poke at it, flip the logs, restack them, what happens? The fire comes alive, right? So guess what? You know, in the scriptures, God has called us, and he actually used this example with Timothy, who was Paul's son in the faith. He said this. He said, Timothy, you know what? I want you to fan your gift into flame, right? And focus on God's perspective. So we're going to go right down to the next thing, and we're going to close on this last thing here is this. He says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. God wants you to use these gifts, right, in a powerful way. So here's, how do I fan it into flame? How do I poke at it and get it stirred up? Man, as I read God's word, and as I really pray fervently, as I really see God, and I really fellowship with my brothers, and I really am honest about what I see, I begin to see that I am part of this picture. And I want to throw this out. If you really serve God with your gifts, not someone else's gifts that you don't have, you will find a real sense of fulfillment and satisfaction and joy. You know how I fan my gift into flame some? I try stuff. And if I don't sense that or people don't see the giftedness in me, I try something else. But I don't stop trying until I lock into what God has gifted me with. Does that make sense? I got to fan this gift into flame. Take us down real quick if you would, my dear. All right. Focusing on God's perspective. And I'm going to close with this thought. You remember the parables? It's called the parable of the talents, right? It says, then he who had received the five talents went and he traded with them and made another five talents. And likewise, he who had received two gained two more also. But remember, Jesus gave one person how many? Five, one, two, one, one. They were different. Remember, God gives as the Spirit wills, right? And it says, but he had received, look what happened to the guy with one. So the guy with five, he used that five and he built it up even more. The guy with two, man, he doubled it up too. The guy with one, again, I don't know if it was a pride thing or just a foolish thing, but look what he did. He says, but he who received the one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Here's the idea. Here's the connection. Isn't that what we do with our gifts sometimes? Well, I can't preach. I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. So I'm just going to dig my hole and put my gift in the ground, and I'm just going to be a spectator at church. What? Is that what God wanted? And by the way, guess what happens? It says, after a long time, the Lord of the servants came and settled accounts with them. Take us to the next verse. So the Lord, I'm going to hit this kind of top side. The Lord, he said, wow, you with the five, you did an awesome job. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You with the two, you did a great job. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Go to the next verse. What about that guy with one with the shovel? What, how'd he do? It says, then he who had received the one talent came and said, by the way, don't we always have excuses? God, you don't know how busy I am. God, you know, I'm tired. God, you don't know my wife. God, you don't know my husband. You don't know my kids. You know, we say all those kind of things, right? So he says, Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not scattered seed. And I was afraid. And I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. And check out the response. But his Lord answered and said to him, what? You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. So, connection. Everybody look up. God has gifted every single one of us. Some of us are really good servants who are entering the joy of the Lord and experiencing the joy of the Lord. Some of us have dug and put our talent into the hole in the ground and aren't doing anything with it. And look what God says. If we do that, and by the way, we've all done that, probably some. We're wicked and lazy, and we're not doing what God has called us to do. Did you ever hear that expression, if the shoe fits? Right? And I went through the South. You know, by the way, I can't guilt you. I don't want to, by the way. Guilt you, threaten you, scare you into using your gifts. But I will say this. That's what God expects. And if we use them, there's going to be such incredible joy and fruit, and God is going to accomplish his purpose. If we don't, we're just going to be like, sorry that we didn't. And maybe in the midst of the busyness of life, we're like, you know, we're not thinking about that now. But one day, when all things are said and done and we finally settle ourselves down, we're going to say, man, I wish I would have used my gifts for God. I wish I would have been a good steward of my gifts. And I just want to challenge everybody today. Let's step up and be good stewards, not just of our time, but of the gifts that God has given us. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So we're looking forward, by the way, and this is not on purpose in a sense. You know, we have all this work to do today, set up, break down, all this kind of thing we're going to do today. We're going to do it Friday night. And I'll just say this. Every time something happens at church, whether we have a fellowship in the gym, Awana starts, youth group starts, you can bet, and I use that word, you know, guardedly, you can bet that there's something for you to do with your gifts. Right? And I'll throw this out. As a church, can you imagine First Baptist Church where everybody just was using their gifts? We would be like this well-oiled machine, this dynasty for God, this victorious place that gets done the will of God in this community and probably around the world. That's what God's vision is, and when we steward our gifts right, that's where we're going to be at. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Father God, thanks for your word. Lord, it's so powerful and challenging and convicting, yet, Lord, it just gives us hope, Lord, of what could be. I pray, Lord, that you would work us in us, Lord, in a dynamic way, Lord, this week and in the days ahead, Lord, not out of guilt, but out of love for you, what you've done, Lord, that we would just serve you passionately, and Lord, I just ask these things, and I pray that you would work in all of our hearts, Lord. Encourage where we need encouragement. Convict where we need to convict. And Lord God, if there's anyone here without Jesus, Lord, we can't do anything without him. I pray, Lord, that they would meet him even today, that they would say, I want to know more about this, and I want to meet the King of Kings. Lord, I pray that they would even show themselves today and that they might have that relationship with you. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus' name with thanksgiving. Amen.